See, the last couple of days we have been thinking in our main sessions about life particularly. And we want to think a little more about ministry. Because these two must be balanced. Paul told Timothy, take heed to your life, to yourself and to your teaching. Both are equally important. Life and teaching are equally important. And we need to see that in both areas we follow the example of Christ and Scripture. So that's important. So I want to start with a verse in Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith.
அவனவனுக்கு தேவன் பகிர்ந்த விசுவாச அளவின்படியே தெளிந்த எண்ணமுள்ளவனாய் எண்ண வேண்டும்.
So therefore he says, if you have a gift of prophecy, verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each is to exercise them accordingly, prophecy according to the proportion of his faith.
ஆரம்பத்திலே பார்த்தோம், நமக்கு அருளப்பட்ட கிருபையின்படியே நாம் வெவ்வேறான வரங்கள் உள்ளவர்களான அப்படினாலே
there's no exhortation in the Bible which says the opposite of verse 3, don't think of yourself more lowly than you ought to think.
மூன்றாம் வசனத்திலே தன்னை குறித்து என்ன வேண்டும் மிஞ்சி என்னாமல் என்று சொன்னால் அதற்கு நேர் எதிர்மாறாக என்ன வேண்டும், தன்னை குறித்து மிகவும் கீழாக என்ன வேண்டும் என்று பொருள் அல்ல.
That's what all the preachers and psychologists are preaching today. And that message excites a lot of people. But isn't it interesting that an all-wise God, who knew the end from the beginning, never felt there was a need for such an exhortation in Scripture? You ask yourself, have you found in your past life you're in greater danger of being too humble or too proud? We are in constant danger of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think.
நாம் என்ன வேண்டியது என்னாதபடி மிஞ்சி எண்ணுவதற்கு தான் நாம் அதிகமாய் ஆபத்தில் இருக்கிறோம்.
Now this is different from finding security in God as a father.
தேவனுடைய தகப்பன் என்கிற அந்த சத்தியத்திலே நம்முடைய பாதுகாப்பை உணர்வது என்பது அதுவே விஷயம்.
See, we have two directions in which we have relationships.
நம்முடைய உறவுகளிலே இரண்டு பகுதிகள்,
or let's say three directions.
அது மூன்று திசைகள் உண்டு.
In relation to God, in relation to human beings, and in relation to the devil. So, in relation to God, always the Bible says, in the New Testament, we must have confidence, boldness. That's the word used, to have confidence before God. And that comes through knowing that Christ has accepted me just as I am. And that as soon as I sin, if I confess and repent, I'm forgiven immediately and accept it. And also towards the devil, I mean, there's only one word in the New Testament, resist him. Give no place to him. Don't give any place to the devil. Don't give him any opportunity. So it's a fierce attitude towards an enemy that we are supposed to have towards Satan all the time. But then when it relates to human beings, always the word is, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And like I said, pride is in our spirit. If we don't ask God for light on it, we won't get it. We won't get that light. And I want to read to you what the Message translation of this Romans 12:3 is. I am speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me. And especially since I have some responsibility in relation to you. So, since we live in pure grace, it's important that you don't misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing something to God. No, God brings it to you. And listen to this. The only way to accurately understand ourselves is by knowing what God is and what He does for us, rather than thinking about what we are and what we do for Him. See, our human tendency is always to think of what we are and what we do for God. We need to discipline ourselves to think of who God is and what He has done for us. And the more we think about that, we really have a sober estimate about ourselves. And we have faith that what God did for me, He can do for other people too. I mean, I was not such wonderful material for God to do something with me. He took a very ordinary person who made so many mistakes and then did something. So we must have faith for others. So let me show you another verse, 1 Peter chapter 4. Since a lot of our ministry is speaking God's word, I want to share some basic requirements to be able to speak God's word effectively. And once we have laid that foundation, then we can build on that to see how we can speak God's word more effectively. See, basically I just want to say three things. Number one, 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks must speak as the utterance of God. That means every time you get up to speak in the meeting, whether it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes, it must be as the utterance of God. That's what God says. That's what the word of God says. Whoever speaks, It must be as the utterances of God.
அது தேவனுடைய ஏகோதரன்படியாய் பேசுவதாய் இருக்க வேண்டும்.
That means when you get up to speak in the meeting, you are speaking for God.
நீங்கள் தேவனுக்காக பேசுகிறீர்கள்.
That is, people are hearing what God is saying.
தேவன் என்ன சொல்கிறாரோ அதை ஜனங்கள் இப்பொழுது கேட்கிறார்கள்.
How do you feel when you read that verse?
இந்த வார்த்தையை வாசிக்கும்போது எப்படி உணர்கிறீர்கள்?
It brings, that verse brings a tremendous fear into my heart.
என்னுடைய உள்ளத்திலே இந்த வார்த்தையானது அதிகமான பயத்தை கொண்டு வருது.
I find it doesn't bring a fear into the hearts of lots of believers, and that's why they waste everybody's time.
அநேக விசுவாசிகளுடைய உள்ளத்திலே இந்த பயத்தை கொண்டு வருகிறது. யாரோ அநேகருடைய நேரங்களை வீணாக்கி கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள்.
All the boring sermons are because people have not started here in this verse.
இந்த வார்த்தையிலே ஜனங்கள் ஆரம்பிக்காதபடினாலே தான் அநேக போரடிக்கக்கூடிய பிரசங்கங்கள் நடந்து
வருது. They just get up and say whatever comes into their mind.
என்னெல்லாம் தங்களுடைய மனதிலே வருகிறதோ அவைகளை எல்லாம் பேச ஆரம்பிக்கிறார்கள்.
I said that's all right in a political platform or when you're in a school function or something like that.
ஒரு பள்ளி விழாவிலே அல்லது அரசியல் மேடையிலே பேசினா அது பரவாயில்லை, அது போல பேசலாம்.
But to speak in a church, in a church meeting, there's only one way to speak. Whoever speaks, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, the utterances of God. It's really fearful. And that's why the Bible says, in James 1, it says in verse 19, let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak. And it's referring to human relationships. Don't just think in conversation that you have to do all the speaking. Listen. But I want to apply that also in our relationship with God. Hear what God is saying to you before you speak. See how Jesus said it in John 14:10. These are amazing words. John 14 verse 10. The middle of that verse. The words that I am saying to you, I am not speaking on my own initiative, but the Father abides in me, does these works.
நான் உங்களுடனே சொல்கிற வசனங்களை என் சுயமாய் நான் சொல்லவில்லை, என் பிதாவானவரே என்னுடைய வாசமாய் இருக்கிறவரே இதை இந்த கிரியை செய்து வந்தார்.
If there was one person who walked on this earth who could have spoken whatever he wanted from his mind, it was Jesus, because his mind was so pure, his life was so pure.
தன்னுடைய மனதில் என்னெல்லாம் விழுகிறதோ அதையெல்லாம் பேசக்கூடிய ஒரு நபர் இந்த பூமியில் இருக்கிறார் என்று சொன்னால் அவர்தான் இயேசு. ஏனென்றால் அவருடைய மனது அவ்வளவு தூய்மையாக இருந்தது.
We can't do that because our minds are so polluted.
நம்முடைய மனது கரைபட்டிருக்கிறபடியால் எல்லாம் அப்படி செய்யும்.
Our life has been so polluted.
நம்முடைய வாழ்க்கையும் அசுத்தப்பட்டதாயிருக்கிறது.
But the one whose life was perfect,
பூரணமான ஒரு வாழ்வை பெற்றவர்,
never said everything that came into his mind.
நம்முடைய மனதிலே வந்த எல்லாவற்றையும் அவர் பேசவில்லை.
He said, the words that I speak to you in the Message Bible, I don't make them up on my own.
நான் உங்களோடு பேசுகிற வார்த்தைகளை நானாக தயாரித்து பேசவில்லை என்று மெசேஜ் பைபிளிலே
பார்க்கிறேன். Lord, make me like you.
ஆண்டவரே, உம்மை போல என்னை மாற்ற முடியும்.
That the words that I speak, I don't make them up on my own.
நான் பேசுகிற வார்த்தைகளை நானாக தேடி பிரயாசப்பட்டு பேசுவதில்லை.
But the Father who dwells in me crafts each word.
ஆனால் எனக்குள்ள அந்த வாசமாக இருக்கக்கூடிய அந்த பிதாவானவர் ஒவ்வொரு வார்த்தையும் அவர் இணைத்து பேச உதவி செய்கிறார்.
That's why Jesus wasn't always in a hurry to speak.
ஆகவேதான் இயேசு எப்பொழுதுமே பேசுவதற்கு தீவிரமாக இருக்கவில்லை.
To me, one of the greatest miracles that I see in Jesus' life was that he could sit 30 years in the synagogue in Nazareth and listen to all those boring sermons and keep quiet. Don't you think that's a miracle? He had so much in him.
அவருக்கு எவ்வளவோ பேசுவதற்கு இருந்தது.
The Father said, keep quiet. It's not for you to speak now. There are very few believers who are so sensitive to the Father's voice. They think they know something. Of course, they've got to set everybody straight and tell everybody whatever is in their mind. Jesus was not like that. He spoke when the Father told him to speak. And, okay, if somebody gets up and speaks a boring sermon, and the Father said, no, you just keep quiet. Just go home. He went. One day the Father said, now go. Then he began to speak. And even then, he wouldn't speak immediately. When the people accused the woman caught in adultery, he waited. Father, what shall I say? He's looking down, scribbling on the ground. People say, what was he scribbling? That's written in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. I think, you know, sometimes when I'm listening to a phone, I take a phone and just doodle. You know, you do that sometimes, just draw circles. I think he was doing something like that. He's saying, Father, what do you want me to say? Tell them, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. He be quick to hear and slow to speak. You'll accomplish a lot more with one sentence. Many of us think, unless we speak for a long time, nothing will be accomplished. Yeah, I mean, Paul once spoke for, I think, about 10 hours in Troas. That was in Acts 20. So, there are times when there's a need for that. But don't try that unless you're someone like Paul. Most of us are much less than that. But to speak is the utterance of God. That's the number one thing that we need to bear in mind. And for that, I need to really know God's Word. If I don't know God's Word, how will I know the utterances of God? It's very important for us, every one of us, to have a disciplined attitude of studying God's Word. This must be your... I mean, if God has called you to minister the Word, God's Word must be the passion of your heart. And that's how I studied the Word from the age of 21 to 26. I used to study it everywhere. I used to carry it into wherever I went. In the bus stop, or go to the toilet, or, you know, go to a government office where you know you have to wait 2-3 hours before anything happens. Any place where I felt I may have to wait, or travel in a bus or a train or anything. You see, I think of what Jesus said after the feeding of the 5,000, pick up the fragments that remain. And I think of that in relation to time. There are fragments of time that we get during the day. See, I was working in the Navy. I didn't have large sections of time. I had to work. But I had fragments of time here and there. Now I'd pick up those fragments of time and seek to study God's Word during those fragments of time. So, I would encourage you to do that, to use all the fragments of time to study God's Word. And really get to know God's Word if you want to speak as the utterances of God. Don't have favorite passages of Scripture. Lot of cults have come out through taking one verse. Don't forget that the devil quoted a verse to Jesus to make him do something. And the devil will quote a verse to you to make you do something. Because he knows you respect God's Word. Okay, he'll give you a verse from God's Word. And Jesus also, he gave God's Word because he knew Jesus respected God's Word. So that, but Jesus had studied the Word. He said, no, it's also written something else. That has got to balance the other one. You read that in Matthew 4. So, like someone said, the whole truth is not found in "it is written," but in "it."
No.
The whole truth is found in "it is written" and "it is also written." It's like the two wings of a bird. Tozer used to say, truth has got two wings. You have only one, you just keep going around in circles. So, we need to have complete understanding of God's Word. And I have pictured God's Word like the human body. God in His great wisdom has put so many parts in this human body. Some things which may think, nails for example. You're not going to die if you don't have nails. But if you want to scratch yourself, you need nails. It's very useful sometimes when no other part of the body can help you. So even some of those things which look so unimportant are important. But not as important as the heart, the kidneys, the liver, things like
that.
So in truth also it's like that. Many truths. For example, 1 Corinthians 13 says that speaking in tongues is not as important as loving people. He says even doing miracles is not as important as loving people. So, there's a proportion of truth. Some are more important than others. For example, how many of you know that to worship God is more important than to serve Him? Jesus said that in Matthew 4:20, thou shalt worship and then thou shalt serve. And worship is not praise and thanksgiving we have on Sunday morning. There are three things: thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Most most of the time what we do in Sunday morning is thanksgiving and praise, when we sing. Not worship. People call it worship. That's because most of them don't know what worship is. There are very few people who knew what worship was.
I think
some of these old godly Roman Catholic saints, they knew what worship was. I think people like Protestants, a few people like Tozer knew what worship was. But I've discovered one thing, that the more you worship, the more effective your service is. Thanksgiving is to express our gratitude to God for all that He's done for us. Praise is praising Him. Even if He didn't do anything for me, praise Him for who He is. But worship, you know, people worship by falling down before God with their head down before Him. That's why I'm against this pushing people back that goes on nowadays in the meetings, where people fall backwards and show their feet to God. In our Eastern cultures, you know what an insult it is if I show my feet to you. Imagine lying down and showing my feet to God. I tell you, the devil has made fools of Christians. Showing their feet to God, they say, is the Holy Spirit. It's absolute rubbish. Therapy, oh brother, it's wonderful power. It's power, alright, but it's not Holy Spirit power. Because if it were Holy Spirit power, it would make you holy. Like evil spirits make people evil. Evil spirit? It's unclean spirit, right? Is there a word for evil? Okay.
Okay.
Unclean spirits make you unclean. Evil spirits make you evil. Unclean spirits will make you unclean. And if that's true, what should Holy Spirit make you? It's so clear. Holy. So this is where the deception. I mean, you don't need to be spiritual, you just need to know English, that's all, or your own language. Why did God call Him Holy Spirit? He who has ears to hear will hear. So worship is when people fell down and they were showing that their whole being was God. And worship can be best done alone in private, without anybody around. In the Old Testament, there was a place called a most holy place where the high priest alone would go. That was worship. It was just him and God, nobody else. That's why Jesus told the woman in Samaria, the time has now come when people can worship God in the Spirit. Up until now, they could only worship in the body and the soul. I'm just expanding Jesus' words. Man is body, soul and spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And there was worship in the Old Testament, body and soul worship. Clap your hands, raise your hands, it's all in the Psalms. And use your voice and raise your voice and shout and everything. It's all in the Psalms. And emotions and all that and use all the instruments. Now I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that we can do something more today. In fact, this should flow out of that. The rivers must now flow from our innermost being in the new covenant. From the spirit to the soul and body. So my clapping and my emotions and my raising my hands and my trumpeting and music, everything must come from my spirit.
And
no, you see, the Old Testament tabernacle had these three parts corresponding to body, soul and spirit.
And
the most holy place was blocked off. Nobody could go there. Teaching that worship in the spirit was impossible in the Old Covenant. But Jesus died and rent that veil. He said, now you can worship in the Spirit. That's what he told the woman of Samaria in John 4. The time is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit. It wasn't possible until now. But now it is possible. John 4, 24, 25, you read that. Now, we can worship in spirit. And Romans 12, 1 says, your worship is when you present your entire body to God. I don't lie down on the ground and show my feet to God. And nobody's ever going to make me do that. These meetings where people make you fall, make them fall down is so popular nowadays. I have two verses for that. If I go to such a meeting, one is Psalm 91, 1,000 will fall on one side and 10,000 on the other side will go and come near you. And then I have a verse from the New Testament in Jude 24. He is able to keep me from falling. That's enough for me. And so I don't fall. But I do worship. I bow down before God, present my body to Him like it says in Romans 12:1. Present your bodies because this is your worship in the Spirit. You read that in Romans 12:1? This is your worship in the Spirit. That's not easy. It's easy to praise and thank and clap. But to say, Lord, I present my body to you. I've used my eyes to look at, to read at, to read whatever I liked. From today it's yours. I've used my tongue to talk all types of things. If I get angry, I just speak because the tongue is mine. Today it's yours. I've used my hands to do all types of things, no more. The passions of my body I've used to fulfill my own lusts. But I surrender them to you. My feet have taken me wherever I wanted to go. But no more. I present every part of my body as a living sacrifice. See, sacrifice means there's something has to be killed. That is my own desire to use these things the way I want. I want to go where I like. I pray, Lord, I don't want to go where I like. I want to go where you want me to go. And I never want to be a single day in a place where you don't want me to be. And it says in Romans 12:1, when you have done that, you are worshipping in the Spirit. Tell me. Is that easier or just coming Sunday morning and say, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, let's sing this wonderful chorus where we can shake our hips and go back and use our bodies exactly as we like? Among born again believers, less than 1% know what worship is. They are all in the old covenant, worship in the body and soul. I also do that, but my worship flows from my spirit. I clap, I raise my hands, I shout, I feel emotional, I weep, I laugh, I do everything. But it's more than that. You know how two people can do the same thing and for one it comes from his innermost being, for the other it is only superficial. I can't decide for another person, but I know about myself whether it's coming from my innermost being or not. Your service for God will be a million times more effective if you first of all decide to be a worshipper. I say, Lord, all my life I want to be a worshipper. Because that's what I'm going to do for eternity. I'm not going to preach in heaven. I'm not going to speak in tongues in heaven. I'm not going to pray for the sick in heaven. All these things will disappear. Worship will continue for all eternity. And I'll tell you one thing, I'll never show my feet to God in heaven. I'll fall with my head down before Him. Let's learn to do it now. When you live like that, there'll be a fear of God in you, a reverence for His presence, and you will not be so quick to get up and just speak whatever comes into your mind. You'll be very careful that your utterances are the utterances of God. You will not speak to impress people. You will speak to lead them to this Almighty God. A lot of preaching is not to lead people to God. It is to present ideas and this and that. It's just like the worldly lecturers. Okay, I mean, lots of Christians are like that today. Psychology has determined how they preach. I have heard lots of preachers. Very good, very effective, they grip you for a long time. I have heard politicians who live very immoral lives. But boy, when they speak, they can grip you that you don't even lose concentration for 1 minute. It's not Holy Spirit. And I suppose if such a person becomes a Christian, they can speak like that from God's word too. But it's not the utterances of God. And then I've heard very few in my life. When they speak, they give me a sense of God. Oh Lord, make me like that. That should be your prayer. That when you speak, people have a sense of God. That it brings a reverence for God into their life. They don't just say, it's like I heard of two preachers in the 19th century. I don't remember their names. But someone who heard both of them said, when I hear this man, I say, what a wonderful preacher. But when I hear this man, I say, boy, what a wonderful Savior we have. So which do you want? By the end of your sermon, people say, boy, what a wonderful preacher. Or to say, what a wonderful Savior Jesus is. Seek and you will find. You seek to be a wonderful preacher, that's what you will be. You say, Lord, hide me. Let people see Jesus. Seek that. God will grant you your heart's desire. When I was a young preacher, I read a poem which I never forget. I don't remember the exact wording of that poem. I've got it somewhere.
But
it's a picture of a man holding a, you know, those days they didn't have electricity, fire torch. And showing a painting of Jesus. And it says, everybody saw the beauty of that painting, that nobody even noticed the hand that was holding this torch. I said, Lord, help me to preach like that. That the lasting impression when they have gone away is
they've
got taken up to the Lord. To tell you honestly, I'm absolutely delighted when nobody comes and thanks me at the end of a message saying, brother, that was a wonderful sermon. Because then I know that they were taken up with the Savior. They didn't see the hand that held the torch. I don't wait for people to come and thank me. In fact, I hope they don't. I want them to be so gripped with Jesus they forgot about everybody else and went home. And the second verse of that poem said that here was a man who blew a trumpet. And the trumpet prepared everybody for the war. They all got ready. Nobody saw who blew the trumpet. But the message was clear. Prepare for war. So, I said, Lord, that's how I want to preach. Prepare for war against Satan and sin. It's all a question of what our goal in life is. You know, as elders, we can want to be admired as preachers. And you pursue that and pursue that. When I was a young Christian, the Lord asked me this question. Do you want to impress people or do you want to help them? Make a choice. I said, Lord, I want to help people. The Lord said, then stop trying to impress them. And from that time I've tried my best. I haven't always succeeded, but I've tried my best only to help and not to impress. I must say, sometimes I've slipped up and fallen. Usually, particularly when I go to a new place for the first time, we're all tempted, why, I've got to impress these people. It becomes less and less as we grow older, but don't get discouraged if that happens. You know, first time somebody asks you to speak in a new situation, yeah, the temptation is strong to impress. But go home and judge yourself. Battle. That's not the highest form of ministry. God's put us in this world not to impress people but to help them.
And
that's easy when we are worshippers. When we live before God's face and we're taken up with Him. Another picture the Lord gave me was this in Isaiah chapter 2. I'm just telling you some things that helped me in my ministry.
இந்த ஊழியத்தில் எனக்கு உதவி செய்த ஒரு சில காரியங்களை நான் உங்களோட பகிர்ந்து கொள்கிறேன்.
I am still on point number 1 by the way.
அதாவது நான் இன்னும் முதல் குறிப்பிலே தான் இருந்து கொண்டிருக்கேன்.
Don't think you have missed point number 2 and 3.
அவ இரண்டாவது மூன்றாவது குறிப்பிலே நீங்கள் இருந்து விட்டு வேண்டாம்.
To speak as the utterances of God.
தேவன் அருளப்பட்ட பிரகாரமாய் நீங்கள் பேசுங்கள்.
It's very important that we get certain basic facts right.
சில அடிப்படையான சத்தியங்களை சரியாக அறிந்து கொள்வது நல்லது.
Worship
ஆராதனை
of God.
And
seeking to hide ourselves so that God can be seen more clearly.
தேவன் இன்னும் தெளிவாய் காணப்படும்படியாக நம்மை நாமே மறைத்துக் கொள்வோம்.
I love the example of the Trinity.
திரித்துவத்தினுடைய மாதிரியை நான் பார்த்தேன்.
Jesus hid himself so that people would see the Father.
பிதாவை பார்க்கும்படியாக இயேசு தம்மை தாமே மறைத்துக் கொண்டார்.
He always he wanted to get out of the way. People need to see the Father. He is the Father.
பிதாவை பார்க்க வேண்டும் என்று அவர் தன்னை மறைத்துக் கொண்டார்.
And then the Holy Spirit came.
பரிசுத்தாவியரவங்க
and he always gets out of the way and says you got to see Jesus, you got to see Jesus.
அவரும் தன்னை மறைத்துக்கொண்டு எல்லாரும் இயேசுவை பாருங்க இயேசுவை பாருங்க.
This is how God is.
இதுதான் தேவன் இருக்கிறார்.
I say Lord make me like that.
ஆண்டவரே நீ எப்படிப்பட்டவர்?
Always wanting to get out of the way and say no you got to see Jesus.
எப்பொழுதே வழிவிட்டு எல்லாரும் இயேசுவை பார்க்க முடியாது.
That's a mark of a man filled with the Holy Spirit.
பரிசுத்தாவியரால் நிரப்பப்பட்ட ஒரு மனிதனுடைய
அடையாளம். Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes he'll glorify me.
பரிசுத்தாவியரால் வரும்போது அவர் என்னை மகிமைப்படுத்துவார்.
He will not speak about himself.
அவர் தலக்காலை தேட மாட்டார்.
The man filled with the Holy Spirit will not speak about himself.
பரிசுத்தாவியானவரால் நிரப்பப்பட்ட ஒரு
மனிதனை we may give a testimony.
சாட்சி சொல்வார்.
Many times I have been very reluctant to give a testimony about myself.
अनेक சமயங்களில் என்னை குறித்து ஒரு சாட்சியை சொல்வதற்கு நான் அதிகமாக தயக்கமுற்றிருக்கிறேன்.
I find that sometimes it helps people so I'm willing to do it.
சில சமயங்களில் என்னுடைய சாட்சி ஜனங்களுக்கு உதவி செய்கிறவங்களாக நீங்கள் இருக்கிற அப்படி நினைத்துக்கொண்டு செய்கிறேன்.
So let me say this Isaiah chapter 2
yes the 2nd verse
this is another verse that helped me Isaiah 2:22
yes the 2nd verse
stop regarding man whose breath is in his nostrils
naathire swasamulla manushane nambode vittuvidungal
and the lord said to me
adar sonar
all these people sitting in front of you their breath is in their nostrils
unak munbaga ukkandu kondirukkira ella janamudaiya swasamum unudaiya naathire dhaan irukkirathu
and when the breath is taken away they are just dust
அந்த சுவாசமானது இடுபட்டு போய்விட்டால்
அவர்கள் மண் தான்
வெறும் மண்
திங்க் ஆஃப் 100 பைல்ஸ் ஆஃப் டஸ்ட்
100 மண் குவிகள் இருப்பது போல இணைப்படும்
அண்ட் வி நோ இன் தி வேர்ல்ட் தேர் ஆர் டிஃபரண்ட் கலர்ஸ் ஆஃப் டஸ்ட்
உலகத்திலே வித்தியாசமான நிறங்களிலே மண் இருக்கிறது என்று நாம் அறிவோம்
ஒயிட் டஸ்ட்
வெள்ளை மண்
பிரவுன் டஸ்ட்
பிரவுன் மண்
பிளாக் டஸ்ட்
கருப்பு மண்
எல்லோ டஸ்ட்
மஞ்சள் நிற மண்
ரெட் டஸ்ட்
சிவப்பு நிற மண் செம்மண்
God, they start breathing, they are white human beings, are red human beings and brown human beings, etc. But you take it all out, take out the breath, take out the breath, it's just piles of dust. So I used to picture myself like this. I'm standing on a beach. No human beings around. Piles of dust.
அங்கே மண் குவியலாக மலர் குவியலாக இருக்கிறது.
You know something like the Lord told Ezekiel go and preach to this valley of bones.
இங்கே உலர்ந்த எலும்புகளுடைய பள்ளத்தாக்கிலே போய் பிரசங்கம் பண்ணு என்று எசேக்கியேல்.
So here the Lord says to me here are the piles of dust here.
இங்கே மண் குவிகள் இருக்கிறது போய் பேசு.
Don't regard them. Their breath is in their nostrils.
அவருடைய சுவாசம் நாசிலே இருக்கிறது.
And now speak to them.
இப்பொழுது அவர்களுக்கு பேசு.
Prophesy to them son of man.
மனுஷ குமாரனே தீர்க்கதரிசன உரை.
To these piles of dust
இந்த மண் குவிகளுக்கு தீர்க்கதரிசனம் உரை.
Tell them what I want them to hear.
அவர்கள் என்ன கேட்க வேண்டும் என்று நான் விரும்புகிறேனோ அதை நீ சொல்.
That makes a difference.
அதிலே ஒரு வித்தியாசம் ஏற்படுகிறது.
When we are not trying to impress, I mean can you imagine standing in a beach before a pile of sand and trying to impress that pile of sand?
நீங்கள் ஒரு கடலில் நின்று கொண்டு அங்கே இருக்கக்கூடிய மணல் குவியல்களை பார்த்து அதை எப்படியாவது கவர வேண்டும் என்று நீங்க முயற்சிப்பீர்களா?
Crazy. None of us, even the weakest of us, wouldn't be tempted to do that. These are little pictures God uses to help us. Because you can never be a servant of God if you're trying to impress men. I believe that's one of the greatest problems that we have when we seek to minister God's word.
தேவனுடைய வார்த்தை போதிக்க நாம் ஆரம்பிக்கும் பொழுது நமக்கு இருக்கக்கூடிய பெரிய பிரச்சனை இதுதான்.
Galatians chapter 1
கலாத்தியர் 1 ஆம் அதிகாரம்
and verse 10
பத்தாவது
Am I seeking the favor of men? Am I trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I cannot be a servant of Christ.
இப்பொழுது நான் மனுஷரியா தேவனியா யாரை நாடி போதிக்கிறேன்? மனுஷரியா பிரியப்படுத்த பார்க்கிறேன்.
I cannot be a servant of Christ if I seek to impress men. It's completely out of the question. I will be a servant of men. Another verse, 2 Timothy 4. Paul says to Timothy, I'm giving you a solemn charge in the presence of God.
You see,
everything in God's word is from the Holy Spirit.
But
Timothy was such a wholehearted brother. And he took seriously everything that Paul said. He said, but when Paul wanted him to take something really serious, he said, I'm solemnly charging you in God's presence. This is no ordinary thing, Timothy. And in the presence of Jesus Christ, who will judge you one day and judge all the living and dead people. And he's going to appear and he's going to set up his kingdom where all the kingdoms of earth will be wiped out.
அவர் வெளிப்பட போகிறார், அவர் தம்முடைய ராஜ்யத்தை ஸ்தாபிக்க போகிறார், பூமியுடைய எல்லா ராஜ்யங்களும் வழி.
And with all that fantastic introduction, he says,
இப்படிப்பட்ட எல்லா விதமான முகவுரைகளையும் சொல்கிறார்,
preach the word.
தேவனுடைய வார்த்தையை பிரசங்கி.
See, it's not just preach the word.
I
solemnly charge you in the presence of God of Christ Jesus to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That's the way we should preach the word every time. Solemnly charged in the presence of God. In the presence of Jesus Christ, who will judge me one day. Who will ask me, why did you preach like that? Why did you speak for 1 hour when I gave you only 5 minutes message? Will the Lord ask any of you that question? Why did you get up and speak for 1 hour when I gave you only 5 minutes? We don't have a fear of God. That's our problem. We get up and say whatever comes into our mind to people and say we are preaching God's word. We need a humility, brothers. We need a fear, a reverence. We need to recognize how much grace God has given us. You know, I always use the example of checks. One person with 1 lakh in his bank account can write a check for 1 lakh. If you got only 50 rupees in your bank account, how much can you write? Prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. There are many brothers in our churches who preach for 1 hour because they see me preach for 1 hour. And it's the brothers in those churches who keep on telling me, Brother Zach, our elder just bores us. And even though you have numerous times told everybody, Brother Zach, to speak for 20 minutes, these brothers just don't listen. They don't respect anybody's authority. What to do? I say, what shall I do? Shall I be like Saddam Hussein? I won't be. I leave them to God. If they want to destroy themselves, destroy yourself. What can I do? I show them the way out, but they don't listen. What can I do? They have no fear of God. What shall you do with such people?
அவங்களுக்கு தெய்வ பயம் இல்லை. அப்படிப்பட்ட வெறுக்கணும்.
They have such a high opinion about themselves. What do you do with such people?
அவங்க தங்களை குறித்து உயர்வா
எண்ணிக்கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள். Numerous exhortations make no dent on them.
எவ்வளவோ புத்திமதியை சொல்லியும் அவங்களிலே ஒரு வித்தியாசமும் அது உண்டு பண்ணாது.
Preach the word. Be ready in season out of season.
சமயம் வைத்தாலும் வைக்காவிட்டாலும்.
And how should we preach? Reprove, rebuke, exhort.
கடிந்து கொண்டு புத்தி சொல்லி கண்டனம் பண்ணி உபதேசம் பண்ணு.
How much preaching do you hear like that nowadays?
இந்த நாட்களில் இப்படிப்பட்ட பிரசங்கங்கள் எத்தனை கேட்கிறீர்கள்?
I don't mean the carnal way of using a whip.
மாம்சீகமாய் சாட்டை பயன்படுத்துவதை குறித்து நான் சொல்லவில்லை.
But reproving, rebuking, exhorting like Jesus did.
இயேசு செய்தது போல கண்டனம் பண்ணி கடிந்து கொண்டு புத்தி சொல்லுவது.
Read the spirit of the apostle Paul when he does says things.
இப்படிப்பட்ட காரியங்களை பவுல் சொல்லும்போது அவருடைய ஆவியை புரிந்து கொள்ளுங்கள்.
You can only do it right if you are a worshipper.
ஆராதிக்கிறவனாய் இருந்தால் தான் நாம் அதை சரியாக.
You can only do it right if you love people so much.
ஜனங்களை நீங்கள் அதிகமாக நேசித்தால் தான் நீங்கள் இப்படி செய்ய முடியும்.
The way you do with your own children.
நீங்கள் உங்கள் சொந்த பிள்ளைகளிடத்திலே இடைவெளி.
How much you pray when you have to correct a indisciplined child of yours at home.
வீட்டிலே உங்களுடைய ஒழுக்கமற்ற பிள்ளையை திருத்துவதற்கு முன்பதாக எந்த அளவுக்கு நீங்கள் ஜெபிக்கிறீர்கள்?
Most preachers don't preach like that when they rebuke people in the church.
அநேக பிரசங்கியார்கள் சபையிலே ஒரு கடிதமுறையிலே கொடுக்கும்போது அப்படி ஜெபிப்பதில்லை.
And that's why God doesn't back up their words.
ஆகவே தான் அவருடைய வார்த்தைகளை தேவன் தாங்குவதில்லை.
It's not easy to reprove, rebuke and exhort in the Holy Spirit.
பரிசுத்த ஆவியினாலே கண்டன பண்ணி கடிந்து கொண்டு புத்தி சொல்வது என்பது அவருடைய விடுதல்.
With great patience.
அதிக சாந்தத்தோடு நீடிய சாந்தத்தோடு.
We got to keep on doing it.
நாமே செய்து கொண்டே இருக்க வேண்டும்.
Then it says, Paul says, the time will come when they will not listen to sound doctrine.
ஆரோக்கியமான உபதேசத்தை கேட்க மனதாகத்தக்கூடிய காலம் வரும்.
The word sound is from the Greek word hygiene, from we get the English word hygiene referring to cleanliness.
துப்புரவு என்று சொல்லப்படுதான குறியான கிரேக்க வார்த்தையிலிருந்து தான் அந்த ஆரோக்கியமான என்ற பதம் வந்திருக்கு.
So it's hygienic doctrine, that's the meaning.
துப்புரவான ஒரு உபதேசம்.
You know a hygienic hospital and a dirty hospital?
அசுத்தமான ஒரு ஆஸ்பத்திரிக்கும் துப்புரவான சுத்தமான ஒரு ஆஸ்பத்திரிக்கும்.
I don't want to go to a dirty hospital, I'll get sick.
நான் அசுத்தமான ஆஸ்பத்திரிக்கு போனா எனக்கு வியாதி வரும்.
I like to go where the standards of hygiene are very high.
நல்ல ஆஸ்பத்திரி என்று சொன்னால் அங்கே துப்புரவுடைய தரமானது உயர்ந்திருக்கும்.
I want to go to a restaurant where they have some hygienic standards.
நான் நல்ல துப்புரவுள்ளதான ஒரு ஹோட்டலுக்கு தான் போய் சாப்பிட விரும்புவேன்.
And I want to go to a church where the doctrine is hygienic.
அதே போல ஆரோக்கியமான துப்புரவான உபதேசம் உள்ள சபைக்கு தான்.
Where they cleanse out, where they use soap and water and are very clean.
சோப்பையும் தண்ணீரையும் பயன்படுத்தி நன்றாக கழுவி சுத்தமாக இருக்கக்கூடிய.
And then say, oh, a little bit of dirt doesn't matter. No, I don't want to go to a church like that. The time will come when they will not be interested in a doctrine of holiness. That's what it's saying here. But they'll want to have their ears tickled. And so they will accumulate. You know what accumulate means? Multitudes of teachers according to their own desire. What is man's own desire? I want money. I want a comfortable life. And there'll be multitudes of preachers who will get up and tell you that Jesus will do that for you. Amazing how Paul knew what is going to happen in the 21st century. Today I don't read that verse saying the time will come. I say the time has come. It has come, Paul, it has come. Finally what you prophesied about has come. Teachers are being accumulated. Who will turn away people's ears from the truth? From the truth of God's word. And will be turned to the myths of psychology. Make people feel good. They say, Jesus said, you got to love others as you love yourself. So therefore you got to love yourself first. Yes, isn't that very clever? But they'll never teach the other verse where Jesus said, you've got to hate yourself. That verse they... Now, have you ever heard these psychologists, preachers preaching that from that verse? Never. Turn aside from the truth. But you, Timothy, be sober. Endure hardship. Oh yes, you'll face a lot of hardship if you stand up for these truths. Keep the message alive. and do a thorough job as God's servant. That's Message Bible. Keep the message alive. And do a first class job as God's servant. We are living in those times.
The
call to Timothy comes to us. In the presence of God. The presence of Jesus Christ who is going to come soon to establish His kingdom and judge everybody. Let's take it seriously. Let's pray.